This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, our guy from The Athletic, Eric Name, talking Bucks. Eric, appreciate the time, man. Thanks for squeezing us in.
No problem. Sorry for the delay, fellas.
All right, so there's a report out that there's thought that Malcolm Brogdon could get somewhere in the area of $15 million a year over a four-year time frame. So four at 60. I think that's a number the Bucks can do. What say you?
Yeah, I think that's probably – they could fit that in, especially since I think they got a pretty good deal on Bledsoe. Obviously, we'll have to see how the rest of the playoffs play out, but if the Bledsoe that they got this year is the Bledsoe that they're supposed to get going forward, I think the number they got him at was pretty good. 15, I think the Bucks should probably do. I'm going to be, as I've told you guys many times, I'm really curious to see where Malcolm's number is, and you know, especially now that you know he did have that plantar fascia tear, does it take it down even more? And you know, like thinking through a 4-60 number is. Is there going to be, you know, kind of the desire to lock him up for a shorter term because, you know, maybe there's some concerns about the foot? Like, I think all those questions are really going to come into play, and that's why predicting his number for me is really tough to try to figure out. But, yeah, I think the Bucks could probably handle 4-60.
Do you think it's a deal for Brogdon where, you know, he's just looking for the most money he can get and he's out if he gets it? Because everybody said, you know, with Bledsoe, well, he took a hometown discount to stay. And as you pointed out before, well, maybe his agent was snooping around and didn't think he could get more when they got to the open market, so he took what the Bucks offered.
Yeah, I mean, and I still believe that with Bledsoe. Like I said, I'm still curious if in the playoffs last year it didn't go well, obviously. So if it doesn't go well again, you know, maybe that number would have been even less than that 17-ish number that they got Bledsoe at. So with Brogdon, I mean, this is probably with his advanced age, you know, where he was drafted as, you know, like a fifth-year senior, and now 3 years in, you know, he's already – this is probably his lone payday. I shouldn't say his lone payday, but his biggest payday. This is the one where if he can get paid, this is the year and this is the contract. So, you know, I do think there would be at least some thought to doing everything you possibly can to maximize it, but I also do believe that he knows – you know, maybe I'm not a second or third guy. Maybe I am closer to a fourth or fifth guy on a team, and this is a pretty good spot. And, you know, being able to compete for a championship is a pretty good thing. So, I don't know where Malcolm's head will be, but with those concerns about, you know, plantar fascia tear, his foot has been red flagged since the moment he got in the league. Like, there has to at least be some thought that I need to get as much money as I possibly can. And again, that kind of goes counterintuitive to Malcolm's, you know, just personality. He's a very thoughtful person and, you know, really thinks through things. But, you know, I think it'd be impossible for an agent or, you know, a player to kind of be like, oh, yeah, you know, like think about all these philosophical things about how nice it'll be to play for this team when in reality, like, this is going to be the biggest payday of my career, so I do need to take advantage of it.
Well, and Eric, on that same front, because he is such a thoughtful guy, and he understands every part of this game and understands pretty much every part of the business, too. Do you believe his role in the Players Association would drive him to the big payday because of, I mean, what necessarily you'd preach for everybody else in the league making their money as well?
That's really fascinating because when you look at the next group of leadership in the NBAPA, there isn't, I wouldn't say there isn't stars. They're not stars there. And the last batch of VPs and leadership were, you know, star type guys like LeBron took on a big role. Chris Paul took on a big role. Those were guys that were going to get max money. And they, in some ways, represented the max guys. they found a way that, you know, in these CBA negotiations, that the max guys were the ones that, you know, really found a way to
you know, get that new Supermax and try to find some more ways to create even more. I'm not sure which way it would push him. I don't know if it would push him to think, I need to maximize my earnings so that, you know, I can really speak to guys at the top of the league, or, you know, if, you know, maybe I should maximize my long-term security, take a little bit less, get 4 years instead of three, and then I can speak to the common man a little bit better. So there's a lot of political kind of stuff that could all kind of go along with being in that leadership position at the NBAPA, and Melkin's contract, you know, can play in a different way depending on how it all goes down.
Go ahead, Gary.
You know, we've been talking about contracts a lot, but I just want to ask you, though, a little bit about, well, I guess is Middleton, because if you look at what he's trying to get and the monies that's out there for him, I just don't think he has shown anything yet to get those type of dollars. But I think if you look right now in the playoffs, if the Bucks continue to play the way that they're playing, I mean, he's not even going to be on a court that much to even get some scoring opportunities. I just don't know how that's going to play out for him at the end of this year.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on this. I don't think it's necessarily an island. I feel pretty comfortable with the people I'm there with. I think around the NBA, pretty much everyone knows that it's max or near max for Middleton. And, you know, I know Wendy was on with, I think it's Barton Winkler, earlier this week or maybe last week. And,
right.
You know, he said that, you know, Chris is probably going to get that contract, but, you know.
Who said this?
Brian Windhorst, like he's going to get $30 million, but is he worth $30 million? You know, I probably ask that question and wonder if that was the case. So,
right.
You know, I think just about everyone thinks that's where the money's going to be. It's going to be around $30 million, whether that's a full max or just short of it. That's what it's going to be for Chris Middleton. Like, and I guess some of the stuff you just kind of have to think about is, you know, there's positional scarcity. There's not that many 6'8 dudes in the league that can do all the things that Chris can do. Literally every point you've heard me make about Chris Middleton before, like all those things remain true.
Sure.
And then, you know, there's always teams that are going to want a guy like that. And again, I've said many times before, like, are there better number twos out there for the Bucks? Of course. There's always going to be someone better that you could get. But, you know, you have to also factor in the risk of that person not wanting to come there. You may have to put in the risk of that making Giannis mad, that you decided to let go of someone that he found success for. So to me, ultimately, for the Bucks making these decisions, it's like, well, you know, did we get past the second round? Did we get into the Eastern Conference Finals? How do we look in the Eastern Conference Finals? Did we get to the finals? Like, those are all the things that, to me, really make it, I guess, in some ways validate giving him that contract.
Correct.
Like, if you're able to find that success, well, who cares if he only has 16 points per game or whatever it may be, because, well, he was a huge part of this team that, you know, can be built for years and years to come. So as I've said many times before, I think it's going to be near max or just below it for Middleton. If the Bucks don't want to pay it, someone else will. I was actually thinking about it over the weekend, watching the Pacers score 74 points against the Boston Celtics, and thinking about what Middleton did to the Celtics last year, because, you know, like, Bojan Bogdanovic is someone that always gets brought up as, okay, you know, if you don't get Middleton, that's the type of guy that could be number two. It's like, well, Bogdanovic is going to get $20+ million this year too. So do you want to pay him for, you know, $20 million, or do you want to pay a little bit extra to get Chris that can actually score an isolation bucket as opposed to Bogdanovic, who just kind of got tied down by the Celtics and couldn't really do anything?
Yeah, Eric, I want to get to some of the awards that I'm expecting because I think a lot of people think for them to sweep Detroit and beat everybody and go to the Eastern Conference Finals. But why wasn't, and maybe you have, but why wasn't more people caring about Booten being coach of the year? And one, you know, for one reason, I know people looking for the MVP, but ultimately, do you think people even care about awards right now? Or they just want to see the Bucks, as you just indicated, just go to the second round. They'll be more happy with that.
It's kind of funny, and I think that exact idea kind of paints the entire kind of award landscape, because just from what I've written at The Athletic, like any story I wrote about Giannis and the MVP. Obviously, it would get spread around and people would see it, or be on a quote from Giannis or whatever it may be. People would see it.
Yeah.
And on Twitter, I'd always have, like, angry responses from Rockets fans that were like, oh, who cares, man? Like, he's not Harden. He doesn't score like Harden, like all this stuff. And I'm like, I didn't even mention James Harden's name. Like, I didn't say a word about him. And, you know, I think part of the reason why they're so passionate about it is because they don't believe their team can go to the finals. Like, they know that ultimately the Warriors are probably going to beat them. So what they're focused on is like, hey, you know, if we're not going to go to the finals, well, you know, at least let's get our guy the MVP. Like, let's do everything we can to show all the support. And, you know, with Bucks fans, I think there's I don't want to say it's like a privileged feeling, but it's kind of just a joyous feeling. Like, they're still in the honeymoon where it's like, whoa, I cheer for the best team in the league. Whoa, they could win the East. Like, they could go to the finals. I mean, sure, Giannis is the MVP, but, like, I want all that other stuff. Like, that's the stuff that I want.
So, right.
And I think for Rockets fans and other people, like, all of those other awards are kind of, you know, consolation prizes they want to take away from this season, while I think a lot of Bucks fans have started to allow themselves to dream and actually say, like, hey, you know, maybe we can get to the finals. And, oh, hey, maybe we could actually beat the Warriors if we get there. So I think that's kind of been part of the reason why, you know, whether it's Bud for Coach of the Year, whether it's Giannis for Defensive Player of the Year, whether it's Bledsoe for an all-defensive team, Brook Lopez for an all-defensive team, like, I think all of those things mean so much more to franchises when they know there isn't the possibility of team success. Like, I think back in the day about Bucks fans, like, really just out there, like, trying to do everything they can to let people know that Andrew Bogut should win Defensive Player of the Year. And it was like, you did that because you knew the Bucks stunk. Like, they weren't any good. So at least, like, let's get our guys a little bit of shine. So I think a lot of the awards and the concern over the awards from Bucks fans and, you know, talk about it, Bucks fans haven't gotten into it just because they feel so good about their team and feel so good about everything else that, you know, like, they don't have to worry about it. Like, whatever, he doesn't win MVP, the Bucks are going to the finals.
Well, it's interesting because there's a Twitter account at the NBA Central, and it says, it looks like Giannis is going to run away with the MVP, and they've got everybody's first place votes that they can apparently keep track of here of what they're doing as far as confirmed ballots or not. And there's like two people, according to this Twitter account, that voted for James Harden, Kevin Pelton of ESPN and Jalen Rose. That's it. Everybody else voting for Giannis. Do you expect it to be close?
I did until about 2 weeks ago. And like now, to me, it just feels like in a spot where I don't know if he's not going to run away with it unanimous or anything like that. But like, I do think there's a good possibility that, you know, by the end of this, like, votes come down to like 70% Giannis, 30% Harden. Like, I do think we are in range for that, where, you know, I think for a while Harden really had, you know, like a strong case, and, you know, he was just lighting the world on fire, and it was just so undeniable and such a big deal. And then in the end, it was like, well, you know, the Rockets didn't really do quite as much as I think everyone was hoping they could do. And, you know, when you look at the season and some of the warts he has defensively, like, you know what, Giannis, like, is just on the best team in the league. And they're the only team in the league to win 60 games. And I just think it got to a point where we've talked about this throughout the entire year is narrative, right? Like, there's always got to be narrative. You always got to be thinking about something. And I think for the MVP conversation, Harden carried a lot of that this year, where it was, look at what he's doing. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the MVP, and James Harden is our way into it. While in the end, the overwhelming narrative was best player, best team, most dominant, wire-to-wire domination of the league. Like, where else are you going to go? Like, the narrative is over. Like, there's no more regular season games. There's no more 50-point explosions against some garbage team. Like, there's none of that. Like, the season is over, and this guy was the best player on the best team, and they dominated the league. Why else would I go in a different direction? I do think that kind of crystallized in, you know, the last week or two of the season, where it's just like, you know what, we were trying to make this a conversation because it's fun and it's something to talk about, but in the end, like, it's Giannis, and I do think it's going to be a lot. I think it's going to be a lot further apart than I maybe thought probably a month ago. I thought it was going to be close for a while, and now I do think Giannis does. I don't know if run away with it is quite right for the phrasing, but I do think he wins by, you know, a pretty significant margin.
Okay, last thing here. I want to know, we found something. I just want to know if you know where this came from. Go ahead, Baby Tough.
Right now, we got to talk about Larry Sanders. I think right now he's the most exciting thing about the Bucks. obviously, there's a lot of negativity about the Bucks. We can talk about Brandon Jennings doing this, or Monte Ellis doing that, or J.J. Redick doing this, and the Bucks don't have enough minutes for this guy. We could talk about all that, but I'd rather focus on the positive. And I think the positive is definitely Larry Sanders.
Young Eric, oh my God.
Hey, that wasn't my idea.
When you look back on it, though, I mean, I was kind of on the right side of history there. Like, he was the most exciting thing about that team.
Well, if you feel confident, then we'll play another snippet of it next week, because I've got the entire thing from one of the shows that you did when you were an intern trying to get on the radio. So we've got a Packers bit. We've got a Brewers bit. We've got a Bucks bit. Oh, yeah. We got it all. We found it in the archives yesterday, and I was like, hey, there's an Eric name folder. What's in there? So we opened it up. I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to use this going forward. This is good. So that'll be fun.
Oh, that's incredible. That is incredible.
All right. There we go.
Eric, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week, and hopefully next week we're just talking about who on earth are we going to watch in round two. Is it going to be the Indiana Pacers or the Boston Celtics taking on the Milwaukee Bucks? Appreciate it, dude.
I mean, I'm just hoping Young Hot Take's name is going to be able to stand up next week. Like, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens next week.
Yeah, we'll have more. Stay tuned. Eric, appreciate it, buddy.
See you guys.
That's Eric Name of The Athletic joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.